This is the Web Weekly, episode 14 for October 22nd, 2010. Web apps, do or die. In this week's episode, Kevin and Jonas talk about native applications versus web applications and how it affects us as development professionals. You're listening to the Web Weekly, the podcast for all things web. My name is Kevin Dees, and I'm joined today, as always, by my co-host, Jonas Flint. Jonas, how are you doing today?
I'm doing swell, Kevin. I've just been sitting here alone in the dark.
In my
dark office, finishing up a few designs. My goal is to actually finish these designs up by the end of the month so that I can start coding them in Drupal and finishing up in November so I can move on to other things. So.
Yeah, sounds boring.
No, actually, it's actually been...
You said it with such enthusiasm.
I've had a lot of fun with myself.
You sound like it's the end of the week.
No, yeah.
It sounds like it's Friday,
Friday,
you know, to you.
It's Friday, it's 5 o'clock, and, you know, of course you have that weekly exhaustion, but I'm good. I'm ready to go. I've actually been enjoying myself. You know, I really like getting back in.
Yeah. So what are you enjoying?
You know, I like getting into, you know, diving back into Photoshop and you know, learning some techniques.
Yeah.
Working with textures a lot. I like working with textures.
I'm actually using Photoshop this week, so I was surprised. I don't normally use Photoshop to do any of my designs, so I've been using I use mostly, like, I'll just pull out the browser and start coding, but I have found that to be a bit cumbersome, and it's probably not the most effective way to do it.
When you want to do a design,
I use CSS to do everything.
Okay, so you don't even touch Photoshop?
No, man.
Wow.
Yeah, I do all my designs just straight up in CSS and HTML, and then when I need a button, go to Photoshop, throw a button together, pop it on the screen. If it looks good, great. If it doesn't, I make a new one, I tweak it. But, yeah, so this time I've told myself I'm going to do all the design in Photoshop, text, everything. And so it's been an interesting experience. I'm putting a few of my things up on Dribbble, but, you know, I'm going to end up tweaking it a whole lot just because I don't use Photoshop to do hardly any of my design. So we'll see how it goes.
You do most of your design right on the fly.
That would be correct.
That's pretty interesting. I think, who had that philosophy? 37 Signals?
I don't really think anybody has that philosophy. It's because I'm a coder. And so Photoshop, it's not outside. I mean, I can use Photoshop. I mean, come on. But
right.
Because I'm a coder, I enjoy, obviously, coding. So where do I spend most of my time?
Right.
In my CSS and HTML. So therefore, I never quite make it to Photoshop, mostly because I'm comfortable with the code.
Right.
You know, and my stuff isn't terrible, you know, or anything like that. So it's good. My clients are happy and the sites do their job. So, I mean, there's nothing, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, something can look awesome and beautiful, but if it doesn't allow customers to do what they need to do and visitors to do what they need to do on a site, it's pointless, you know. And so my sites allow customers to do that, or at least the results have told me that, you know. And so.
Right. Well, yeah, as long as it's usable.
Yeah, but like you said, beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
Right.
So.
Right.
So let's go ahead and dive into the quick links. You have
that's like saying She's like, fat, but she has a great personality.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
It's true. It's true. Your design sucks in my eyes. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, I'm just kidding.
Well, you know, you go out with the fat girls. Uh-uh.
Yeah.
There are, you know.
Now we're going to get
Despite what people think, there are very, very beautiful women with great personalities, and there are a lot of them. So,
just like websites,
you can stick to the thick ones, man. But
all right.
There's nothing wrong with thick.
You're treading, treading thin ice.
My apologies to all thick women. We love you anyway.
What did I say last time? You're treading thin ice. Yeah, that's what I said.
Treading thin ice.
Treading
thin
ice. Yeah.
Is that what you said last? You said
that
last week.
I think
week,
I'm going to keep it just because it's so terrible. You're treading thin ice, Jonas.
That's right. Awesome. So you have a lot more quick links
treading
than
thin
I do.
Water. That's what I said. I think. I don't know. Treading thin.
Now you made me forget the phrase. What is it?
You're treading deep water, or you're walking on thin ice.
You're treading on water, and you're walking on thin ice. Yeah. Yeah.
Treading. I don't know how the treading water one goes. Anyways, you said you had a quick link. Show us some quick
links. Well, I'm going to have you start because you have a lot more than I do.
Oh, 56 of them. Well, then, if we're going to jump into the quick links, have you taken the List Apart survey? 2010's List Apart survey is out.
I have not. I do remember taking that 1 year, but I haven't. I didn't.
Yeah, it took me about 8 minutes, I want to say that, and it was... It was a good little.
Was it all you thought it would be?
Yeah. Yes, it was amazing. It was a great experience.
Awesome.
You know? But no, I love the List Apart survey, and I like to participate in it. You know, to give them. You know.
So did you get her phone number? Or? Never mind.
All right. Anyway, so that's one thing to check out. Hopefully, you'll go and take that. I really encourage everyone that can to take that take the little survey and contribute there. And then also a quick note, jQuery 1.4.3 has been released. It's now out of its candidate, or release candidate. So have you checked it out?
Yeah, I read through some of the new features.
Yeah, which one's your favorite?
To tell you the truth,
what I saw was a bunch of speed boosts.
Yeah.
And so that's specifically on like.
And I was about to say that. To tell you the truth, it's probably this the speed boosts. But I didn't really, like dive in and test out some of the new features or anything like that. I glanced through it, right. And I read it, and yeah, you know, I tend to hit the highlights, you know, the headings of things without really reading. You know, they have that JS Lint. Engine going on, which I completely don't know what is.
Yeah. The thing I like here most is the huge speed boost for the little functions. Like the filter function got a really good boost. And then, what is it? The find got a good boost. So element finding got a good boost. They added some Ajax functionality in there, but definitely worth a check out. Just go to the wonderful jQuery blog at blog.jquery.com, and you can find their announcement there and also links to the download.
Awesome. So, yeah, I mean, a new version of jQuery is always a good thing.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Hopefully it won't get too bloated, though, you know, as they continue to add features. You know, we'll see bloat coming in, which was nice that they separated the jQuery UI from the jQuery core.
Yeah.
So maybe they'll get to the point where they'll be like, okay, we don't actually need all this crap and everything. So it's definitely a good thing to check out. Then I found an article on, guess what, HTML5.
Oh, not you.
Yes. So there was this blog post up said, how many formats do I need for HTML5 video? So this is on zencoder.com. And on here, he kind of goes through all the types of video formats you
need.
You need.
I read through it. I glanced through it. I did read through this.
Ugg Theora, MP4, which is basically...
Well, he says minimally you need MP4 and...
Right.
What was the other one?
MP4 and either WebM or Ogg. Well, or no. Maybe both.
No, right I think here. He said...
Minimally, comma, MP4 plus either WebM or Ogg. Or
oh,
maybe
yeah, that
both.
Was his recommendation.
That's okay. Right. That is his recommendation. Yep. All right.
Minimally, you must use MP4 and H.264.
Yep.
Yeah, because those are the ones that are...
prevalent.
Yeah, they're the most common... common video formats right now used today.
Right. I think actually,
and our good friend Flashies is it also, right?
Kind of an old blog post, but it was cool.
Yeah, it was a good one, actually.
Listening
yeah.
to the dev show, Dan Benjamin's show over there, or his network.
Isn't it the big web show? Or
No. This was the dev show.
Oh, okay.
So, yep. Let's see. What else do we have going on? You have some links. Come on now.
I have one from one of our favorite sites, Smashing Magazine. This is for you... You folks that don't like the design, like you, Kevin.
Yep.
Free for your next e-commerce project. If you need, you know, when you see the little icons of credit cards and yep. payment mechanisms, well, there are 18 icons of credit, debit card, and payment icons for you to use.
Yeah. Cool.
So, and that, of course, will be in our show notes.
Yeah, I think, let me go find my other, I found a resource link that was pretty cool. It was, let me see if I can't find it here because I don't want to skip over. Oh, well, it's not popping up. I thought I found one. But, anyways, here's this one. Markup.io.
Okay.
Have you seen this?
I have not.
Basically, it says, draw on any web page with markup to quickly share your thoughts. Try it now by choosing a shape to trace. Get markup to use it anytime.
Okay, so...
So basically, I click on one of these boogers. There's like three selections, a squiggly line, a circle, and an arrow. And then I just take my pointer on this little mat they give me, and I kind of trace around like that. Just drawing with my mouse here.
Uh-huh.
That was supposed to be a circle. Instead, I drew a diamond. So, you know, it's kind of cool. You know, it's something worth checking out. It's just a neat little little thing.
When they say draw on any web page,
yep.
What is this? A browser plugin? Is it a snippet of JavaScript code?
Putting me on the spot here, bud. It says drag to bookmark this bar. So my assumption is it's this little bar up here.
It's a bookmark bar.
Right. So you click this little things. Oh, you can choose different colors. Let me click this thing.
Can you draw anywhere on that webpage? Like, can you scribble right over in the markup overview part?
Well, I'm clicking this little pointer, and it's not let me do anything, but it seems to be a favelet. So if you drag it and enable it, it's going to let you go. My assumption is on this site, the favelet's only enabled for that region that they have like the notes on. So it's kind of cool. Be interesting to check out.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Good little quick link.
Opera. We talked about it last week.
Yeah.
Opera 11's on its way out, and now they've opened up the developers able to author now for the extensions.
Awesome.
So I'm excited about that. I'm definitely going to check that out. I actually looked into making extensions for Chrome. So now I can check out Opera.
Yeah, Opera is the underdog. And, you know, SitePoint also wrote an article on this. You know, the author said, I hesitate to write articles about Opera.
Yep.
They've always had a tough time. You know, but maybe with the extensions, you know, that'll change. Opera, I really don't think is a bad browser, but. Just never really picked up like they hoped, I guess.
Yep. Typekit, I always like to find blog posts on theirs. They have great posts about fonts and all that jazz. And so this is a post, a third in a series that came out on October 31st. at Typekit or blog.typekit.com. You can check it out there.
21st.
Sorry. Yeah. And basically, it's going over, you know, type rendering for web browsers and, you know, what to do and how to approach the situation. So very, very cool article. And it's the third in the series, so you got plenty of reading to do if you really want to investigate it.
I've been looking into KUFON.
KUFON.
A little.
I don't like KUFON. The sites that I've seen use it have been inaccessible because it converts it to basically a graphic or SVG. And then you can't select it unless you view source.
Well, they're...
the type.
They're starting to change that.
They're working on changing that. Okay.
But I like it more because... Well, I like it for the fact that I can use the fonts that I want to use.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm limited. Like, with Typekit, especially designers, you know, they want more than what Typekit has to offer. And I think they're getting there, but I hope Typekit starts to really start to add more and more in their on their catalog.
Yeah. Well, Typekit has something like 4,000 fonts, so you're not going to have a hard time finding something there you like.
Well, I typed in Japanese fonts.
yeah. Well,
and it was tough to find.
Well, if you want to embed the Japanese fonts on your site, you can use this tool, another quick link, on fontsquirrel.com/fontface/generator. And basically, it's going to give you the app font face markup that you need. And you can basically go and add your font, and you can set it up to export TrueType, EOT, WAF, SVG, SVGZ.
Interesting.
Yeah, so you go in and add this thing in, and it's going to help you create the at font face stuff you need. I have yet to use it. I want to go in here and try it out, see how it does. But it's a good little article, and it talks about all the things that it does, and... definitely worth checking out this little tool if you want to use at font face, because KUFON doesn't, or KUFON or whatever you want to call it, doesn't work out.
Nice.
Yeah. Hit us up with another one, Jonas.
Mine is probably old news by now, but of course it's the big news for the week, I guess. Apple released all kinds of... new products, iLife, etc.
Yeah, whatever. It was lame.
Well.
Lame.
Some of the stuff is good.
Yeah.
You know, it's not entirely lame. I mean, they're beating their competition as far as...
Yeah.
As growth.
They
so,
are the...
I mean,
I
they're
will
doing
say,
something
they
right.
They are the pioneers of the whole app movement.
Yeah.
I will say that. Because they're putting it into a freaking desktop. You know, so they're... They're pioneering for sure.
I think
they're pushing the boundaries.
Yeah, and I think this conflicts a lot with what Google and Mozilla are doing, and I guess we'll save that for.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a bit
when that comes up. But it's interesting the direction that Apple is taking, as opposed to Google and the actual browser makers.
Right.
You know. Yeah, I guess we'll save that for when it comes. But yeah, I mean the link is there. Go check it out and see what the new features of OS X Lion will be.
Yeah.
Of course, Apple didn't cover everything. They didn't have time to.
GUI changes?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I'm surprised.
Exposé, and they changed how Exposé is going to work. And
okay.
Yeah. You know, the thing that you keep hitting on accident, this?
Yes.
Yeah. They're changing a lot of this. Yeah.
So, yeah, it'll be interesting. Usually, I haven't been familiar with operating systems having graphical interface changes on a point release.
Right.
You know, usually it's like Windows 7. That's a full release.
Yeah.
Updates. But it'll be interesting.
Well, Snow Leopard was you know, they got into the core and they fixed a lot of bugs and they made it real fast. And Lion is going to be a pretty big change, I think.
Right.
But, yeah. Check out that.
Yeah,
I made it a quick link because you know I'm sure that the whole conversation has been worn out by now. So
yeah, well I have two really quick ones.
Uh-huh.
If you're interested in OAuth, if you want to learn how to do it, awesome article on the ThinkVitamin or ThinkVitamin.com. So go to thinkvitamin.com/code/introduction-to-OAuth. And you're going to find basically a really nice article covering a ton of what you're interested in for your next project if you want to use OAuth.
OAuth is coming. You know, there's been a lot of talk about it, and, you know, major websites have been talking about transitioning to OAuth.
Twitter has, so.
Yeah, I've just been, when I think about stuff like this, it's always been kind of blah to me, you know what I mean? The whole OAuth, and what was the other?
OAuth has become, I believe, what OpenID had hoped to be.
Yeah, OpenID.
OAuth may be OpenID, you know, it may be a different version of it, but.
Mechanisms of authorization have always been kind of like, boring to me, you know?
Well, it's nice to have that one login credential set up where you have a site like Twitter and you can log into any site with Twitter.
Right, yeah. No, I see the importance of it.
Yeah.
It's just, and if I need to learn OAuth, I'll definitely go to that article.
Yeah.
It's just been one of those things that I've never been enthused about. You know, how certain things you
it's a techie thing. You know, it's a technical thing, and you're a designer, so we understand. We forgive you.
No. I think you're misperceiving me.
I'm just picking on you, man.
I'm a techie guy. I mean, I code, but
yeah.
OAuth has been one of those things that
have
been always kind of bled to me.
Yeah. This is a nice one, Couch One. Benjamin Young was on the show. He's working for Couch One, so I follow him on Twitter, and I found this in his tweet stream. And basically, it's
you found that in Ben's tweet?
Yeah. So Ben tweeted this, and he's asking folks to contribute if they can. And it's basically CouchDB drivers, whatever the language you've got your client. So in here, Java, Erlang, JavaScript, .NET, C#, PHP, Python, Ruby, Scala, however you want to say it. And just this list is pretty cool. If you want to use CouchDB, check it out.
Nah, awesome.
Yep.
A lot of talk about Couch.io. I just, like I told you earlier, I'm interested in it. I just haven't found a real justifiable use case.
Right.
For my projects. Maybe one day.
All right. Do you have any more quick links?
I do. I have one in Mashable again.
We have a ton of quick links today.
Yeah.
I tell you, but they're good quick links. They're not like just this thrown together bunch. So we've actually had some good news out this week. So
Mozilla Chromeless. Mozilla, or makers of Firefox, they're putting out an API so that developers can actually start building their own browsers based on web technologies, JavaScript, CSS, and HTML. Yeah, I'm not so sure how it'll take off, but we'll see. You know, right now the browser utilizes XUL, but you know, the one thing I have liked about Mozilla or Firefox was that everything in Firefox is customizable and extensible, including the Chrome. And I really like that about Firefox. That's one thing that I think Firefox has over the rest of the browsers, because
the extensibility of Firefox is what's helped it dominate the market. You know, and just now Chrome and Opera and Safari have come out with extensions. And so there's finally other players in the water. And they've always been the leaders in that.
Not just extensions, but you can get into the core of Firefox and do what you want if you're a well-knowledged coder, you know.
Well-knowledged.
That's right. Well-knowledged coder.
Coder. You're a colder.
Awesome. Right.
Hey, check this out. This is my class quick link. And then we'll get into the good stuff, which this is actually a good transition.
I got one more.
You have one more? Well, I'll go ahead and do this one, and we'll just pretend like we did this one last.
Okay.
Touch Gesture Reference Guide. Pretty awesome.
Yeah, this is a good one.
LukeW.com put out an article actually a while back But it's still cool. And he covers all these little touch references. You have things like tap, double tap, fling, drag, spread, pinch, press, drag, tap. You know, and it covers the different platforms, the different things, you know, and iPhone, Windows 7, Palm OS, Web OS, Android, OS X. So you kind of get my drift
right,
here.
Right, we get the picture.
Yeah.
You don't need to look.
In fact, let me name all of these. No. So no. That's cool.
But no, it's really interesting. It shows you what common gestures are and gives you reference points, a guide. And yeah, I looked through it and it was really interesting, especially now, right?
Yeah, exactly.
We're going to be
exactly
designing and developing for mobile.
I feel like I've seen this before. Now I'm having that deja vu moment where I feel like I've seen this.
Now, this is a great little reference.
Yeah.
And a good little quick link.
All right, the last quick link for the day.
Okay, my last quick link is called all-silhouettes.com.
Okay, what is this?
If you're a Photoshop user or you like vector art, they are kind of like web dings, little frills.
Oh, is this the one that you showed me with the trees?
Yeah, with the bonsai trees. Okay, cool. They're custom Photoshop custom shapes.
Yeah, that's cool.
They're freely usable, commercial or personal, and there's a lot of them. So,
yeah,
if you ever need a silhouette, that's the place to go. Got silhouettes of sexy women there too.
Yeah. That sounds like a reason to go.
Yeah.
So.
It's the typical ones you always see, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The 1950s ones. You know what I'm talking about? You see those everywhere. So. Yeah. Anyway.
Well, I tell you, we've had a ton of quick links today.
Yeah. It was good.
There was a ton of news going around today. Maybe I should have saved some of these for another podcast. But, I mean, how long have we been going? What, 20 minutes now on quick links?
Yeah. Well.
That's impressive.
It's good stuff.
For the number of articles we covered, that's impressive. All right. So, kick us off.
Oh, with the Zeldman article.
Yes.
Okay. Interesting article. You pointed it out, and I read through it in its entirety. And
yeah, this is his October 17th post.
What I like about it, also, it's very, very short. Yeah, you know,
Right.
When I start to scroll down an article and I'm scrolling and I'm like, man, I just don't have time to read all of this. I actually had time to read this in its entirety, and I'm inclined to agree with Zeldman. What do you think?
What do I think? I actually left a comment on there. This is what I think. So basically, Zeldman's saying the iPad is the new Flash. And he's not really saying the iPad is Flash. He's simply saying that the iPad has inspired these
bad habits.
What shall we call them? News media kind of applications on here, where basically they create a really cool experience for the consuming content. They charge you a new premium for it. And that's how they're making their money, instead of applying these things to the web, so they make exclusive content for this kind of thing.
Right. What they're selling is the presentation instead of the content, and that's annoying to him. They're making the news flashier and therefore it more expensive.
Yeah. Basically, what Zeldman says, he says, in the minds of many, the iPad is like Flash that pays. You can cram traditional publishing content into an overwrought novelty Flash interface, as the New York Times once did with its T magazine. You may win a design award, but nobody will pay for your for that content. You know, and he goes on to say, it's hard to argue with money and jobs. And, you know, he wouldn't dream of doing so, you know, arguing with the fact that money is nice. But basically he breaks it down to say, why are we creating these novelty applications with things like the iPad and forgetting that HTML and CSS, you know, design it once, deploy it everywhere kind of deal.
Right. And I agree, on that light, I agree with him to a degree. You and I talked about this earlier, and a web app for me and a mobile device just simply right now isn't as snappy as a native application.
Yes.
Now, I do get his point where he says, you know, the Wall Street Journal puts out an app. This is an example. I don't know what the Wall Street Journal's app is, but the Wall Street Journal say puts out an app, and it does all these fancy transitions, and it looks really, really cool. Bottom line is it's still the same Wall Street Journal content, but just because it flashes and does all kinds of fancy things, you know, doesn't justify the reason for a native app that can be just as easily read on a web app or what have you.
Yeah.
But, you know, there is – in his article, he doesn't say that he's against native applications.
Yeah,
he actually uses them, and there's a good use case for native applications, but it needs to be appropriate in context, and it needs to aid and benefit the user as opposed to.
Here's the issue that's running into is this has basically become a way for content providers to monetize.
Right.
You know, and so
an
it's
to put up an
distribution
app.
Of content, and they're loving it, but when push comes to shove, guess who gets to eat their lunch? Apple.
That's right.
You know, Apple takes the cut. They lose their content. And we all know that the web is the best way to distribute content. The issue that people are running into with the web is now that there's so much crap out there, people aren't willing to sort through it all to find your stuff and pay for it. And so nobody pays for anything because there's so much stuff out there, you know, and it's just a pain to find the good stuff. So Apple has created this platform where it's going to be good because you're going to be paying for it and everything there is paid, you know. And so
people are desperate to make a buck
over
the content that they've been creating in the first place. And that's been whittled down because of the sheer size of the internet and the amount of information.
Well, people are
looking for an excuse to create these things.
Yeah. So basically my argument is the internet is going to give us the power to distribute. It's just creating a platform on the web to let us distribute. That's going to be the key. You know, that's what's going to lead us into the future. And then the story of the iPad will be, you know, long live the web after that. You know, because when you think about it, the iPad is going to connect you to resources on the net.
Right.
And that's
its purpose, right?
Yep, and it's going to end up being the same distribution we're dealing with now. It just may not come through a browser. You know, the browser's an application, and the iPad app's an application. You know, it's all accessing data. You know, it just happens that web browser can distribute to any platform it wants to.
Right.
Versus whatever. So in the end, I think we know the end to that story, even though some think the web is dead.
What did he say in the end?
I forget.
His last – he kept – what did he call it? Master
– Yeah,
he goes, it's not just sold and on what the magazines are doing. Masturbatory novelty is not a business strategy.
Yeah. Yeah.
The way he words things is kind of... Yeah.
He's saying if you get off on pretty is not a business model.
Right.
You know, people don't pay for pretty, you know, and if they do, it's one of those one-night stand things.
Right. Well,
where it's that novelty effect where, hey, this is cool. I want to do this.
Right. Well, wait a minute. He's not saying
Splash
that.
Splash Pages, Ultimate Testament.
Yeah. He's not saying design is not important.
No.
Because it certainly is.
Yeah.
But what he's saying is design without purpose is purposeless.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it makes no sense. And I agree with him. You know, ultimately, what's important is the content, right?
Yeah. So, show us the flip side. What's the flip side here? We have the iPad, right? Set the stage here for you. We have the iPad.
Right.
The iPhone and these app stores on Android and stuff, right? And these are controlled things. Obviously, the Android's a little bit different than the Apple Store because the Android marketplace is not critiqued in the same way. But still.
But they're still closed platform.
Right. They're closed off to that platform.
Oof. These things hurt my ears.
Yeah, that's why I don't wear the headphones.
You wear them on your
ears.
Head, yeah. But you got a bigger head than I do, so.
So anyways.
In more ways than
this,
one.
This one device service thing, and now what? What's happening here?
Well, you tell me, Kevin.
All right, I'll continue. I'm just letting you have a chance to speak up. I feel like, you know, don't want to dominate the podcast.
You don't have to worry about that, man.
This is not Kevin Weekly. The Web Weekly. But basically what we have going on here is Mozilla has finally released here on October 19th a little preview or a prototype of an open web app ecosystem. So they're kind of outlining how they would do things.
In other words, it's an app store for
the web.
For web applications on the web, right?
Right. So this would be built towards, you know, the browser, but because the architecture of the app store is kind of, it's built on like JSON and HTML and CSS and that kind of thing, it can be implemented in other devices. So therefore you have quote unquote universal
app store.
App store.
Yeah.
And then you can have people pay for them, that kind of thing. So,
well,
what
and
do
Google's-
you think?
Well, I think that the browser makers are trying to make the browser irrelevant, right? And the way they're doing that is through app stores. But, you know, this is actually nothing new. Google a long time ago tried to create, you know, basically what a lot of these folks are doing, Mozilla and Google and Apple.
And just
they're trying
to
create
straight.
A
just
repository.
Real quick, Google announced that they were going to be doing an app store. And then right after that, Mozilla has.
Right.
It just happens to be that Mozilla is in the spotlight because it's recent. So Mozilla's not the mover here, but they are in the front of the field.
Well, we're seeing this recent scramble of different platforms trying to create different marketplaces. You know, the iPhone...
Monetizing the web, the ultimate goal of businesses.
The iPhone was a phenomenon in that it did create a clear, you know, a clear vision of how the web could be sold.
Yeah.
Right?
And And in fact, we've had what? Software as a service was a huge hit. And, you know, in the first decade of 2000. And now, we're coming to the close of this decade, and applications are kind of making their reign.
Well,
I believe in the software as a service model. I really do. I love that model. But, you know, if it keeps hitting your wallet every month, you can't really get too many applications.
Yeah, everybody and their brother's a freemium model.
Right.
And you start to have all of these services, which are only $15 a month.
But you can't have more than 15 apps when you're going broke.
Yeah,
you can't
eventually.
Have 100 apps like you do on your iPhone.
Yeah, eventually. And that's precisely why I have tended not to buy into those things.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. And a lot of them I really wanted to.
Yeah.
But I would think, you know, I have to have this, and then I'll have to have another, and I'll have to have another, and it'll just add up.
Yeah. Whereas, is this the relief that the web is looking for? Is this the breath that's gonna, you know, bring to life?
Well,
developers on the web bring more hardcore developers some awesome apps to the web. There's so much crap out there. I mean, there really is. I mean, I've made crappy programs and I put it out on the web.
Okay, I'm divided.
Because you can.
I'm divided with this one, and this is why. Okay. In a way, yes, I'd love for this to happen because I don't need to buy into a bunch of web services and pay a monthly fee. I really, really try not to pay monthly fees. Because that really adds up and it hits your pocket, right?
Yes, it does. FreshBooks coming next month. Yeah, that's $50.
That's right. And, you know, and there's a great example. and it's very. I'm not saying FreshBooks isn't very usable. I mean, useful.
Yeah,
you know, I see the use case for it. You know,
I want to get paid. I have to use FreshBooks. Well, I don't have to.
Yeah, you don't.
I'm looking into a different service right now.
Yeah, I use a free app and I've done just fine.
What free app do you use?
I use Creative Office Pro.
Creative Office Pro.
Creative Pro Office.
Is that online?
The free version.
Clients
yes, it is.
Log in online?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, cool. It's an online app.
Send me a link. I have to check it out. But I'm always open to new ideas.
But this is why I like it. We're getting back to, you know, I buy it once and I own it.
Yes.
And that's why people love iTunes, right? They bought it once, they bought the song once, and they owned it.
Yeah. I don't rent my sneakers.
That's right.
I don't rent the shirt on my back.
That's a good example, actually.
You know?
Yeah.
Every time I want to go jogging, I don't need to go rent my freaking shoes.
As human beings...
Every time I get on the web, I don't need to rent my freaking applications that I want to use.
That's right. And, you know, that freemium model, it's a rental model, right?
Yep.
And by... As human beings love ownership by nature. We've always liked to own our stuff.
Yes.
You know, so in that light, yes, I do like that. In another light, I'm kind of fearful. Because the existing free applications that we have, I can see it. Every single free application will become some paid-for app.
And that's not a bad thing. And I'll tell you why. You want to know why?
Why is that?
Because it gets rid of the crap.
Well, not always.
It raises the bar for the stuff you're going to pay for.
No. So now just because it's sold doesn't not make it crap.
No. This is what my point is.
Right. Go ahead.
If you're going to charge me $5 for something, either I'm going to buy it because it's going to be good, or I'm not. And if it's not, I'm not going to buy it. So that reduces the number of crap programs out there because you're not going to distribute a crap program if you're not going to get paid for it. That's not always true.
Yeah, people do.
Then on the flip side,
all the time.
On the flip side, it's going to bring down the costs of a lot of applications and boost the quality. You get me?
Right.
Like, it's commoditizing, you know, a lot of this stuff. And so we're going to see a decrease in the cost of, say, Microsoft Word or something like that. You can't really decrease the cost of Microsoft Word just because of the dominance they have there.
Well, some of the web apps, you know, I guess at the end of the day, it's going to depend on the cost, right?
Yep.
It's going to depend on the cost.
It's going to balance the market, basically.
I don't want to feel like I'm constantly being nickel and dimed and nickel and dimed and nickel and dimed. Oh, here's another thing I have to buy.
Yep. It's like driving down the web. It's like driving down the web and it's a freaking toll road. You know, you don't want that.
You're paying every 3 minutes. You're paying. It's crazy. And one of the things that we've always loved about the internet is that where we have alternatives. We can pay.
Yep.
Or we can take a little bit more time and scrounge around and look for a free app. And there's some very, very good free apps. And there's apps that are not so good.
Yeah.
But that will get our task accomplished and we use it because it's free.
Now I wonder if I should take back my words from a second ago, because I come to the realization that if something's paid for, and I personally don't want to pay for it, I have to go and make that application myself if I want that functionality, if I'm not willing to pay for it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so basically what that does is it says for every 10 developers who don't want that one app because they don't want to pay for it, you now have 10 versions of the same thing.
The same app.
Because you don't want to pay for it.
Yeah.
You know, so...
But then...
Kind of like the whole Basecamp thing where you have a bunch of knockoffs of Basecamp and none of them's great just because the guy doesn't want to pay for it, you know, and I plan to do the same thing because I don't want to pay... You know, $30 a month for Basecamp and $50 a month for FreshBooks, you know, and another $30 a month for this other service and that service. You know, it builds up.
Yeah. So it sounds like Mozilla and Google are trying to turn the web into some big, massive app marketplace. But then you have Apple, right? On my iPhone, I buy apps on a whim because they're 99
cents. Yes, because they're in your pocket.
Right, they're in my pocket, and they're 99 cents, or they're even $3. They're cheap, and then I own that app.
Yep.
Yeah, Apple is trying to extend its...
What do the developers get? 70 cents of every dollar, right? Something like that.
Yeah.
Apple takes 30%. 70-30
is the split.
Ridiculous, man. Ridiculous.
Well, now with the app, with OS Lion, in 3 months, Apple is going to release their app store on their desktop. It's going to be an icon that you click right on, what do you call it, the dock.
Dock. And it looks a lot like the iTunes logo. It's a big circle with a...
Yeah, you mean you're talking about the logo.
Yeah, it looks like the SDK icon is what it looks like.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you click on it and you purchase, say, their Word application is called Pages.
Pages, yep.
Right. Did you see the example? Did you watch the keynote? Okay. If you that would be a no.
I'm over here shaking my head violently because I needed to swallow a swig of water.
Yeah. So you did not see it. Okay.
By the way, it's Sphinx Natural Spring Water, 0.5 liter. Anyways, continue.
Also,
continue.
Yeah. While we're talking about our drinks, we've been doing that.
Yeah.
Anyway, what you
I
do
wonder
is
if
actually...
I'm allowed to say Sphinx on the podcast. Not endorsed by Sphinx. There you go.
Right. You keep throwing my train of thought, but now I know what I'm going to say. So.
All right. Hit me up. Come on, let's go.
But essentially, there's an icon on the dock, and you click on the icon, and you can download. It opens up the app store, and just like on iTunes, you can download, you know, the Pages app or whatever app you might have. Download straight to the application repository, and you're able to use it immediately, which is pretty cool. You know, but they're getting away from the web model, right? They're trying to stick to their app model.
Yep.
They're trying to, I almost feel like
the
they
reason
found
it works is because it's cheap and it's simple.
Yeah, it's great distribution, but man, they're trying, it's almost like they're trying to keep us into the, you know, the app phase, like the application,
I think
the desktop application phase where we're moving on to the web, right?
Yeah.
We're moving on to web applications, and they'll be successful. They'll be successful at this, and you know why, right?
Yeah, I do, because they're Apple, and it's easy.
Yeah, that's exactly it, because they're Apple.
And I will say this, and the reason a lot of this is working is the same reason the success of iTunes has come about. It's you don't have to go to the dang store to pick up your software. You don't have to unbox it. You don't have to, you know, go and put the CD in and, oh, wait, it's not a CD, it's a DVD, and I don't have a DVD player because my computer's, you know, 6 years old or whatever, or this isn't compatible with that. It's you click it, you install it, and you're done.
Yep.
You know, and it's
easy and it's lazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you have these three fronts. You have Google and Mozilla trying to get us onto the web, right, and Apple trying to keep us onto the desktop.
See, here's the thing, though. When it comes down to it, you're going to have software for your computer, and you're going to have the web.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not the same thing, and if you think they're fighting for the same market, they're not. They can't. It's two different things. You know, the web has always been about distribution of content and communication, and software applications have always been about basically making money.
Productivity
and you
getting
know,
things
tools
done.
And
tools.
Stuff to well, work with.
Well, I mean,
and the web has been the perfect thing for communication and collaboration.
Do you think
and you can't kill that? You know, that's what the web is.
Well, I mean, do you think that
you can't take the web over? You recreate the web, which maybe is what Apple's trying to do. They're trying to recreate. But I don't even see that.
I think it's more they found a good point of distribution and they want to make as much money as they can.
Right.
So they're using it on a, you know, on a different front. They're learning. They're learning lessons from their iPhone and their iPad, and they're trying to use the same model. But I do see in the future, 10 years from now, I do see us using the web for productivity applications. You know, I do. I mean, do you think we'll ever replace Photoshop with a web app? Possibly.
I will not say never.
Yeah.
But I don't know that it makes sense to do that.
Well, we'll see.
When you put something on the web like that, you know, you're dealing with server CPU and not local client CPU. And so your control over your CPU is what's going to, I think, and unless, you know, bandwidth shoots through the roof.
Which in 10 years from now probably will.
Yeah, well, we'll leave that up to the future.
We'll see. The web's only been around 10 years.
There is a thing to be said for, you know, CPU and having control over your own box.
Right.
Anytime you put it on the web, you're initially putting it on a server, whether you download it or not, or whether you say application take advantage of client-side CPU for this, and then for storage use server or whatever. I mean, there are ways around that kind of thing. But when it comes down to it, yeah, it's just not, it doesn't make a lot of business sense to me. But we'll see. You never know. You never know. I think that kind of wraps up our show, man. I don't see us having much more to say today. This has actually been a shorter podcast than normal.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's a lot of content for a little bit of talk. But hopefully we can have Mr. Wallace on the show next time.
Yeah, absolutely. We're looking to have some guests. Yep. And we're going to be reaching to these people through Skype, or yep, we'll have them in-house with us.
Yeah, I think Skype's going to rock out better because you can't exactly...
Well, yeah, it has more reach for sure.
Yes, exactly. So,
you know, but we'll
do
both.
That's the way to go.
We'll do both.
Yep. Well, everybody, thanks for listening. And Jonas, where can they find you?
They can find me at 01productions.com, ZERO1PRODUCTIONS, if you want to contact me. There's a contact form on there. That's what it's there for, so please use it.
And at Jive on Twitter?
At Jive on Twitter. Okay. Although I'm not as much on Twitter, but if you really want to contact me, use 01 Productions.
If you want to stalk Jonas, Twitter's not the place to do it.
Right.
But if you want to stalk me, Twitter is the place to do it, and I'm Kevin Dees on there, D-E-E-S. Kevin Dees is in the Dees Nuts. And you can find me on Intel Designer and the soon-to-be KevinDees.cc.
Awesome.
Alrighty.
And that's it for the week. We'll see you soon.
Yep. Take it easy, guys. Live life.